Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you're hearing sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, the pastor of Grace Point Church. In this episode, Pastor Ben concludes his sermon series, Transformed, Living an Inverted Life. This is part four. Let's listen in.
We are finishing up our series, Transformed. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter number four, and then we've been jumping off from there into several places as we've looked at this series about what it means to live an inside-out life. What does it mean to live an inside-out life? In other words, it's to live inverted. You know, it's crazy. In God's economy, what's up is down, what's down is up, what's in is out. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's contrary to what the world says. But in God's economy, it works and it fits and it's right, because what's right is what God says. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
What's right is what God says. So what does it mean to live an inverted life? It's to be transformed. It's like what the caterpillar does when it gets into the chrysalis, and then it becomes the beautiful butterfly. There's a transformation that takes place. And folks, listen, when you and I accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, when we invite the Lord into our lives, there ought to be that kind of radical transformation that takes place. So then how do we get there? How do we find our ways there? Have you ever heard somebody say you just need to live a victorious Christian life? Anybody? Just victory in Jesus, right? You sing that hymn, right? Have you ever thought that's all well and good to say, but how do you do it? Because, you know, every single day I wake up with me. Anybody else? Not that you wake up with me, but you wake up with yourself. All right? Yeah. Every day you wake up with self. In other words, it would be so grand and so great to say I live victoriously in Christ, except for the fact that I have to live it with me. Right? So have you ever wondered what it means to live victoriously? What it means to live in Christ. Sermon number four of this series, and the final sermon of the series, a commitment thing. Here it is. All in, all Him. All in, all Him. In other words, He is to be our all in all. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, as we find our way there, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Way back in the first message, we looked at this verse and we talked about what that meant. And we saw that it did not mean a legalistic approach to the Christian life. In other words, it's not a checklist where you check off all the things. I did this, I didn't do that. I didn't do this, I did this. Okay, now I'm all right. But there is an element of the weighing of it. Here's how we find that. Because the word worthy there is the Greek word axios. And axios literally means axis. It's where the same word comes from, axis. And it is a counterbalance for a scale. So if you think of a scale of measuring wet goods, you saw that the scale on a fulcrum or an axis where axios comes from. And then you would have a certain amount of weight on one side, and then you would put a certain amount of product on the other side until it would balance out, and then you would know how much product or grain or whatever you were being given. That's where the word comes from. It's a counterbalance. So listen, think about it from this perspective then. All that the Lord has done for us then balanced against our entire lives. Here's the reality. Are you ready? All that the Lord has done for us is so heavy a weight on one side that you could take all of our lives collectively, every one, and lay us on the other side, and it still wouldn't budge that counterweight. So something has to happen in order for the scale to be balanced. And my friend, that's where grace comes in. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because God does not rely on the weight of our sinless selves to counterbalance the weight of all that he's done. No, he gives us himself in us so that when we live with the reality that he is in us and the acknowledgement of him being in us, when we live to the potential that he has called us to live to, then there is a weight that happens because God gives us the weight to balance the scale. So in other words, to walk worthy of him is to acknowledge that he is our all in all. Wow, so how do we live that way? Well, that's why I'm glad you asked the question. How do we live that way? So for the balance of the message, we're going to try to answer that question. Balanced. If you are, then your walk is worthy. We're going to review this in the context of John 3, verse 30. And here's what it says. He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay? Look at me. He, Christ, must increase, but I must decrease. Everybody point to yourself. Say this. I must decrease. In other words, what we need to do is find out how, or not just find out how, but be willing to surrender to the reality that it's all about him and not about me. Now, that's just a simple, easy thing to do, right? Probably not. You know why? Because we're all afflicted with a certain trait. You know what that trait is? Humanity. Every single one of us. And the natural human fallen condition is one of selfishness. Sin. S-I-N. Selfishness. Think of it that way. It's how we are. It's what's natural to us. So then we have to live unnaturally, humanly speaking. But to do that means to live naturally, Christ speaking. So all in, all him. These verses that we looked at, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as we talked about it, that is literally true. As you look here at me, because of the transaction that has taken place, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the faith by which I have believed, and the grace that he has extended to me, when you look at me, you do not just see one person, you see two. My prayer is that increasingly, you might see the other one beside me more and more. But there are times when I just have to just say I am pretty opaque. There's not a lot of transparency, and what you see is flesh instead of Christ. Well, my prayer is for us to learn how to live as Christ instead of ourselves. Because that's the key to transformation. It's a commitment thing. In other words, it's surrender. All in, all him, transformed, illustrated. So for the balance of this message, what I want to do is I want to do it by way of an illustration. You may have seen this before, but there are some who have not. So I want to ask you, if you would, to pay attention to this. I'm going to ask some questions. In the initial stage, they will be rhetorical questions. I don't want you to answer them out loud. I know that's tough for some of you. I don't want you to answer it out loud. I want you to think in your heart and in your mind what the answer to the question is. What I'm holding in my hand is a regular work glove, a gardening glove, if you will. All right, you will notice that it's not real soil because I do not garden. Matter of fact, if I water plastic flowers, they will wilt. It's just the way it works, okay? But that's what this is. It's a plastic glove. So I'm going to ask you this question. If I lay this glove right here, okay, and I'll turn it this way. Yeah. Lay it like that. And I were to ask the question, I want you to answer it in your mind. Here's the question. Can this glove pick up this book. This book happens to be systematic theology, by the way, in case you were wondering. All right. Can this glove pick up this book? Don't answer. Just think about it. Can it pick up the book? Well, we can answer that in several ways. The first way we can answer is, oh, I didn't mean to do that. We'll come back to that later. How can I get this glove to pick up this book? First of all, maybe we can tell it to pick it up. Okay? So now bear with me. We're going to tell it to pick it up. Glove, I want you to pick up this book. So do it, please. Silly glove just lays there, right? Not doing a thing. Listen and listen carefully. You want to live a transformed life? One of the transformed Christian life? Let me tell you a truth. You can no more live the transformed Christian life merely by being told to do it than that glove can pick up that book merely by being told to do it. But won't we do that all the time? Just be an overcomer. Just pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Just do it, right? We hear it in church all the time. But it's about as effective as that glove is in picking up that book without something else taking place. That's where the transformation takes place. So that's number one. So why can't the glove pick up the book? Don't say answer. I know why. It doesn't know how. It is an ignorant glove. It needs to have instruction. So here's what we're going to do. Glove, are you listening? You are laying in basically the right position, palm up. What I want you to do is take the two smaller fingers on the right-hand side or the left-hand side, depending on your perspective, and I want you to curl them in, and what that's going to do is pull all your fingers in a little bit. Now take your thumb, lay it over the top to leave a gap, and then take the gap and put it over the book, squeeze down, and then lift the book. You're in position, you are ready. That's how you do it. So glove, pick up the book. Crazy glove does what? Just lays there. Listen, you can no more live a transformed Christian life merely by having it explained to you than that glove can pick up the book merely by having it explained to it. But don't we do that all the time? You know, take this class, take these steps, go through this program, do this process, go through all these things. Now listen, every single one of those things are important, but on their own, they cannot achieve the goal or the objective of living as Christ in Him and Him in you, invertedly, the Christian transformation. It is not possible on its own. All we can do is become spiritual blimps unless something happens to put those things to use. See, there's a difference between this book is systematic theology. I picked that for a reason, because systematic theology is a great study, and if you ever want to go into that, you can really see all the different aspects of theology. But I like to think of theology broken down into two parts. Two equal parts. Number one is revelational theology. That's the Word of God. That's the Scripture. That's the truth that we are given. And then the second equal part is relational theology. Jesus was relational. And it's all about the relationship, not only with God, but with others. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what the Christian life is all about. We got to get that before we put theology to work. Amen? So that was the next question. So what else could we do? How about, oh, I know, this glove is like so many of you. It's hard of hearing, right? Husbands, how many of you are hard of hearing when you want to be? All right, good, a lot of hands went up. I love it. It's called selective hearing, right? So the glove is hard of hearing. It's not listening. So if you don't mind, I'll just go ahead and see if we can get this to work. Okay, you ready? Hey, glove! Pick up the book!
Please.
Another way I said anything about please. What did the glove do? It just lays there, right? Listen, you can no more live the transformed Christian life by being shouted into it than that glove can pick up that book by being shouted to it. But do you know any preachers like that? Or shout it to you, right? If I say it hard enough, loud enough, stomp and sweat enough, then you're going to get it. Right? No. You can no more live the transformed Christian life by having it shouted at you than that glove can pick up that book by having it shouted at you. So what's the answer? It's not hearing me. It's not doing what I say. I explained it. I told it. I got mad and I shouted at it. And nothing happened. You ever think that maybe there's something missing? So, don't answer. How else do you think we can get this glove to pick up this book? I know what it is. This glove is not disciplined enough. It's not disciplined enough. It's weak. It's weak. It's inept. It can't do what it's supposed to do because it's spineless. Look at it laying there, just limp. It's spineless. So I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to help this glove, and we're going to make this glove pick up the book. You ready? So if you'll forgive me, you might want to avert your eyes if you're squeamish. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to give this glove some discipline. You ready?
Harder.
Okay, glove. That hurt me more than it hurt you. It's for your own good. I did it in love. So now, glove, pick up the book. Any movement yet? No. Crazy glove just lays there. Now listen, and listen carefully. You know what I'm going to say, but I don't want the knowledge that you know what I'm going to say precludes you from understanding the impact and the weight of it. Are you here? Listen. You can no more live a victorious or transformed Christian life by having it beat into you than that glove can pick up this book by having it beat into it. Listen. It's so much more than that. And you know what I found over the years? I used to think it's because when we go to church, we have some preacher or somebody telling us all the things that we do wrong and stomping on our toes and doing all that stuff, and that's what's at fault. But you know what I've discovered and I found? That's not really where the most damage comes from, where the most ill-directed discipline comes from. You know where it comes from? It comes from ourselves. How often do we think that the only reason why we can't do more for the Lord is because I'm just not capable? How many times do we beat ourselves up because we failed in some way, not realizing that all the Lord wants us to do is to understand and agree with Him that that was wrong and put it aside and move forward at the next moment by His strength and in His mercy and grace to do what He's called us to do and stop letting our own weakness stop us from doing what God's called us to do. Remember what Paul said, in my weakness He is made strong. So surrender and let Him do it. Listen, you can no more live a transformed life by beating it into others or beating it into yourself. That's not the problem. Are you with me? Church, I mean it. I have counseled so many people who are wounded to the point where they cannot even take another step. And the majority of the time it's because others have hurt them, but it's because they've hurt themselves first and allow it to happen. How then can this love pick up this book? I know what the issue is. It's like you and me. This glove has been used in the garage and in the garden and doing stuff. So if you were up here, see it close, you would see it's got some scuff marks on it, and it's kind of dirty and it's soiled. And that's, you know what? It can't do it because it's not clean. So if you'll imagine with me then a basin of warm water, it's got detergent in it, soap, and I'm going to dip it in there and I'm going to wash it. Remember when you used to have to wash clothes like this?
No.
Yeah, or a scrub board like this, right? Wash it up, clean it, I'm going to run underwater and I'm going to clean it out, dry it, lay it there. All right, now glove, now that you've been cleaned and you're washed and you're stain free, all that stuff, you're just crisp and clean and ready. Now I want you to pick up the book. Listen, you can no more live the transformed Christian life merely by being cleaned up than that glove can pick up that book merely by just being cleaned up. Yet don't we think that way? Aren't we so container conscious? And we got to make sure that we're glowing a little bit, we're glistening a little bit. We got to make the exterior look nice and polished so other people don't see that there are problems inside. God forbid anybody know that we're not perfect, right? And yet we carry around the pain of the reality that we are not living a life transformed in Christ, even though we polish the outside. So, not everybody at once, but think about it. I'm going to ask you this question, and on the count of three, I want you to answer. How can we get this glove to pick up that book? How? On the count of three. One, two, three. Put your hand in it. Right? Put your hand in it. Okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put my hand in this. Oh boy, it's kind of small. Obviously it was Debbie, not mine. All right. All right, there we go. Now I'm going to pick up the book.
No.
Well, wait, that's what you said. Did you not say put your hand in? Listen carefully. Look, every bit of my hand that will ever be in this glove is currently in the glove. Right? Everybody, you say, preacher, that's not fair. That's not what I meant, but it's what you said. Put your hand in it. I knew you'd say it. I even wrote it down. Put your hand in it. Listen. Listen carefully. This is where I had go back to Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I labor again, are in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. When I put my hand in this glove, every bit of my hand that will ever be in this glove has been put in. Listen, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you surrendered your heart and life to Him, when you by faith believed and you accepted the grace that He offered, He placed every bit of Himself that will ever be in you in you. And Paul says, but it's like you're still this stupid glove, incapacitated, because there's too much me in the way for it to accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. You see, where we get there from here, that word formed is the word morpho'o in the Greek language. It's from the root morphe, which means formed from the inside or metamorphosis, as opposed to the other word formed, which is scarpe, that's used in the New Testament, which is formation from the outside, by pressure on the outside. But you see, we try to think about being formed that way before we really understand the concept of being formed morphe, or from the inside out. It's like the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. It's a metamorphosis. It's from the inside out. So Paul says, I'm going through these pains of labor until Christ is formed in you. Let's go back to that verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life, now watch this, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Give you personal testimony. There have been a couple of different times in my life since I was born again and since I surrendered to the ministry that I have decided and determined that it wasn't worth it anymore. And I was going to quit. I'm done. Many of you know a time recently when that took place. I'm done. Finished. Finito. Over. Don't want it anymore. So I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I quit. I quit, you know, and fully expecting, even in my knowledge, I'm ignorant. I'm like, Lord, I quit, fully expecting him to say, oh, no, 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 son, please, don't quit. You can do it. Hang in there. Buck up. It'll be all right. Take another step forward. It's going to be okay. Fully anticipating him saying, no, please don't quit. And all I heard from heaven was, whew, at last, you're going to quit. God, you mean you want me to quit? Here's the response from heaven based on the authority of God's word and the meaning of this very verse that we're taking to heart. He says, no. I don't want you to quit. I never intended you to start in the first place. That's why I put myself in you. So that the character, the life, the essence, and the person of Christ might fill you so that he does the work through you as opposed to you doing anything on your own. Wow. So think about it. You know how I like to pray? Do you know what I was praying for? I was praying so that I might hear a voice from the Lord so I know where to go next. Or praying so that I might enjoy the blessing of a quiet time with him. Praying for all those reasons. And he basically says, no, I want you to stop all that. I want you to pray, simply to pray, so that my son might be more fully formed in you. You know how you like to read the Bible? Yeah. I love to read the Bible, but you know what? In my position, I start getting into this pattern of reading the Bible. You know why? Because I have to have one of these ready. I'm reading the Bible because I have to be able to answer a question somebody asks me. I'm reading the Bible because all these things, because it's part of my job. And so it becomes rote, and the Lord says, stop, don't do that anymore. I want you to read my word because it's an opportunity that you might see and come to know me in a more intimate and personal way so that my son might be more fully formed in you. You know how you like to tell others about Jesus? Yeah, yeah. I love doing evangelism. Oh, yeah. You know what? The Lord says, stop. You see, because the problem is I'm telling people about Jesus because you know what? It's kind of like that proves that I know what I'm talking about. That proves that I am who I am. So I'm going to tell others. Listen, if I'm telling others out of a sense of duty to tell others more than just an overflow of who He is in me, understanding my responsibility to do it because He's put Himself inside of me, then I've got it from the wrong perspective. And here's what He says, stop doing it that way. Now I want you to tell others about me because it's an overflow of the reality that my Son is being formed more fully in you. Now you go to church. Yeah. I go to church, Lord. I'm there all the time. And the Lord kind of laughs and says, yeah, because if you don't show up, you don't get paid. Oh, yeah. A lot of us go to church just because, you know what? People are going to talk about us if we don't go. Anybody? What are they going to say? Stop. He says, I want you to go to church because it's an opportunity for you to learn more about me, for you to become more and more engaged in who I am in you, to fellowship with other believers where iron sharpens iron, so that you might come to a place where you're coming to church because it's an opportunity for the Lord Jesus to be more fully formed in you. And then, finally, you know, everything you do. Stop doing it for any other reason or any other motive. Then it's an opportunity to allow Jesus to be more fully formed. Now guess what, folks? Somewhere along the line, haltingly, surprisingly, before we realize it, guess what? Things are happening. And the glove is picking up the glove. Church, listen to me. You and I are to be filled with Christ in exactly the same way as this hand is to fill this glove to make it functional. And guess what? This glove gets to touch others. This glove gets to pick things up. This glove gets the refreshing of being used and functioning for a bigger purpose. Because the glove just becomes a suit of clothes for the hand. So that the hand, who is Christ that is in us, chooses to do the things that He wants to do. And by nature of the position He has in us, we're like the glove, and we get to go along for the ride. You see, I believe firmly that what you and I need to do is to learn to live inverted, so that the purpose in our living is for Christ to live through us. You see, the problem, I think, for a lot of us is we're still trying to pick up a book like this. We're still trying to do things ineffectively. My prayer is that all of us would pray and choose and ask God, oh God in heaven, help me to trust you so that you might be more fully formed in me. Can you bow your head and close your eyes if you will? There are those of us here who have lived our lives since we've been a believer. With the impotent fingers of self and flesh preventing Christ from being fully formed in us. I believe today He says, stop doing things for all the wrong reasons. Just accept
yourself as who I've made you to be. Let me fill you and push the you out of the way so that I might accomplish what I want in you. In today that you would indicate, you know, Pastor, I believe, to allow Jesus to be more fully formed in me so that I might be effective for his cause. If that's the case, would you indicate that by raising your hand? Nobody's looking around at me. Just say, Lord, I need to allow you to be more fully formed in me. Anybody? Your hand's going up everywhere. Absolutely. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us. And if you would stand. Go ahead and stand now. And then if you want that prayer to be your prayer, and you want the Lord to enable that to take place in your life, I wonder if you would, with your heads bowed, your eyes still closed, would you simply lift your hands up in the air, your palms empty, hand extended, saying to the Lord, Lord, I have nothing, and I'm asking you to be everything. Fill me, Lord, from the inside out. Be formed in me so that I might be who you have called me to be. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to look down and smile upon all of those here who are gathered, whose hands are raised, whose hearts are open, and asking you, Father, be fully formed in us. Push self and sin out of the way. Enable us to do what you've called us to do because you are doing it through us. And we ask it in the strong and mighty name of Jesus.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also like us on Facebook at Grace Point Church SC, follow us on Twitter at Grace Point SC, Instagram Grace Point Simpsonville, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to Pastor Ben's other sermons on YouTube or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.